Welcome to the Stonegate Women Podcast. This episode is from our Behold Become 2026 conference. We're so glad that you've joined to listen. Enjoy.
Well, I was in that spot of how I mainly connect with the Lord is intellectual. And I don't think that's bad. I also felt wonder and awe and love for the Lord. I feel a little bit that I need to defend myself. But all I can tell you is that I was just faithful to the Lord on where I was in my journey. So about 3 years ago, I had like a super normal year. Good things happened. Bad things happened. There were things that I grieved the loss of and things that I celebrated. But somewhere in the midst of all that, this kind of just sadness or dimness settled over my life. And it just felt like everything I did, everywhere I went, there was like a wet blanket on top of me. And I just kind of lost some of that sparkle for life. And that even filtered to my Bible reading and prayer that I would sit with the Lord, try to sit with the Lord, and it would be like that wet blanket was there, that my words were bouncing off the walls, that it didn't feel like I could hear from the Lord. It didn't feel like he was hearing me. And that was something I'd never experienced. And that was really hard. I have been walking with the Lord for 30 years. By God's grace, I came to know him early, and being in that spot of like, does the Lord hear me? Is this real? Was really difficult. And I tried all the usual things. Got a counselor, talked to my counselor. Something's wrong with me. And the Lord, I asked him, like, will you just change me? Can you just, I don't know what this is, but just take it away and fix it real fast. And that's not what he did. But instead, he gave me this tiny book, which we are going to talk about. And it really changed my life and opened up a new way for me to experience the Lord. I don't know if you have ever experienced something like that, but my prayer is that this will help you know the Lord more. If it's difficult to relate to him, if it's not, if it's just a new way to enjoy him, wonderful. So the author of this book, I want to tell you about. This is not really relevant, but it's wonderful. He is an English priest and poet, and I have a picture of him. If it will go. Remember, technology is hard when you're 40. This is him. And he, let me read you this sentence about him. His name is Malcolm Guite. And I came across this in an online article. Malcolm Guite is what you'd get if John Donne or George Herbert, who were both English priests and poets, journeyed to Middle Earth by way of San Francisco, took musical cues from Jerry Garcia, who was in The Grateful Dead, and fashion tips from Bilbo Baggins, and rode back on a Harley. So, like, this man plays the electric guitar. He looks like that. He smokes his pipe and he loves it. He just, not relevant, but wonderful. He's great. So his book that the Lord gifted me at the right time is called Lifting the Veil, Imagination in the Kingdom of God. It's not in the bookstore because I didn't think anyone was going to buy it, but it's fantastic. So what do you guys think of when you hear the word imagination? This you can answer.
Out loud. Creativity,
not real. Fun. Make someone said make believe or make up, made up. Oh, yeah.
Colors. Picture my brains. Pictures my brain makes.
Okay. So your own something you make up, yeah.
I don't know. God speaks to me in pictures a lot.
Okay.
So yeah. When I'm talking to him, I see lots of pictures.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. So the dictionary defines imagination as the faculty or action of forming new ideas or images or concepts of external objects not present to the senses. So observation would be I tasted, I felt, I saw, I heard, right? That is not this. Imagination is something that is us forming new ideas about things that we cannot perceive or feel. In the early, or really from the late 1600s forward, science and reason began to be more prominent in culture. leading up to the Enlightenment, right? And in the early 19th century, Samuel Taylor Coleridge and William Wordsworth, who are poets also, felt the need to argue for imagination and for the arts, that their culture was saying truth can only be found through reason, through things that you can observe, that you can measure or quantify. And they are saying, no, that's not true. That the arts and artistic imagination will show us, just as much as science does, that reality itself is translucent with glimmerings of the supernatural, of something holy shining through it. Mm-hmm. That imagination can actually help us see reality more clearly. It's a bridge between the visible and the invisible, mm-hmm. right? You see the sunset, you drink your favorite drink, whatever it is, iced coffee, Coke Zero, water, you're weird. You dig your toes in the sand. You know, those are all gifts that are designed to help us, to lead us to God, right? Or on the other hand, you see suffering or you see pain in the world. Mm-hmm. You encounter difficulty and you think, heavens, we need help. Who can help us with this? And these poets are saying that we use our imagination to look at what's around us and to see through to the divine. Shakespeare has a poem about creativity, and lest I lose you in your high school English classes, I'm not sharing the whole poem with you, but just one line where he says, imagination bodies forth the forms of things unknown. So imagination is giving shape or substance or form to the things that we can't see or perceive or feel or touch, like touch, not feel in our hearts. We see this in all over the Bible, but we also see it in Jesus's teachings. In Matthew chapters 13 through 22, Jesus makes at least 8 statements about the kingdom of heaven. And he says the kingdom of heaven is like yes, we just need a blank right now. He says the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven is like a little bit of leaven in 50 pounds of flour. He says the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field. He says that the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. The kingdom of heaven is like a large net thrown into the sea that catches many fish, and then you throw out the worthless ones, whatever that means. The kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out old and new treasures. Or the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who hired a bunch of people at different times during the day and paid them all the same. Or the kingdom of heaven is like a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. All of these things, if we use our imagination to think about them, they give us different facets of the kingdom of heaven, right? A mustard seed is not the same as the net full of fish and you throw out some of them. The worthless ones is what it says. But through all of these pictures, Jesus is showing us what the kingdom of heaven is like. He's giving us just tiny snippets of it's like this, it's like this, it's like that. And I don't think that we should be surprised that the God who created imagination is choosing to paint pictures for us with his words. But also, isn't Jesus himself the ultimate act of bodying forth, right? Mm-hmm. He is God made man. John 1 tells us that no one has seen God except that you have seen Christ. Colossians 1 tells us that Christ is what? The image of the invisible God. I just want to point out that the Lord could have given us a technical manual. He could have given us a lot of short, just declarative sentences. The kingdom of God is welcoming. The kingdom of God is inclusive. The kingdom of God is a shelter. The kingdom of God is for everyone. But he didn't. He gave us these pictures so that we would be able to think about them, to know about him and about his word. And maybe that feels really obvious to you. And on the lowest level, we have to use our imagination to think about God because we cannot see him. We cannot touch him yet. But what I want to make a case for you this morning is not that this is true, but that you, or not only that it's true, but that you should be spending time doing this, exercising this muscle of imagining about who God is and imagining about his kingdom in order to know him more. Engaging with your imagination and with the kingdom of heaven and with who God is sometimes will lead you to be the creator of something. If you sit in the creative reset, maybe the Lord will show you something new and you will make something. And sometimes it means sitting with someone else's creation and letting the Lord speak to you that way. So here I am in this space where the way that I've engaged with the Lord for a very long time is not working for me. I felt that the Lord is distant. I know from the Bible that's not true, but that's how I felt. I felt just alone. And then I read this book, the little tiny book by that Santa man. And I thought, okay, Lord, well, what do I do with this? There's excitement in this idea that I could know you, see through the world around me to know you. But how do I do that? And the first thing that the Lord gave to me was an image that I saw on the internet of all places. Not everything on there is bad. And it's this. And the first time that I saw this, it took my breath away. I just gasped, like, oh my goodness, Lord. So when you see this, what comes to your mind? This is a time for you. You can share out loud if you want to.
He's holding you in the storm.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
He's completely held, not outside of the same gifts.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. What else?
The storm is in his hand, so he is causing the storm.
Mm. Yeah, that's there too.
Noah's Ark.
Yeah, makes you think of Noah's Ark. Yeah,
he had control of that entire.
Mm-hmm. Somebody back here had something.
I was going to say that.
Yes, that's exactly. I thought too, that song. Yes.
The boat is still
floating. The boat is still. Yes, yeah, the boat is still floating. Is that what you said? Yeah. Yes. There is a storm, and it's happening, but the boat's not sinking, right?
Definitely.
Yeah. So when I saw this, I thought of Revelation 1:8. Jesus says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, right? Those are those symbols on the end of the hands. Isaiah 40:12 says, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? 1 Thessalonians 5:23-24 says, may the God of peace sanctify you complete himself, sanctify you completely, .. There's more in between there. But then he says, he who called you is faithful. He will do it. I thought of Mark 4:35-ish. When Jesus says, let's go to the other side, he says that to his disciples and they get in the boat and he falls asleep and there's a terrible storm and they're like, oh my gosh, and then he calms the wind and the waves, right? This was such a gift to me. There were times when I had things to pray and would say to the Lord. And there were times when I sat and didn't have anything to say to the Lord, whether it be because I was angry or tired or petulant or any negative emotions you can think of. And I just sat with that and thought like, okay, Lord, I don't have anything to say. But I know that there's things in here that are true. And you're using my imagination to remind me of who you are, even when I can't come up with the things. Or I go to your word and it feels like I'm not getting anything out of it. Another way that the Lord opened up my imagination so that I could connect with him was writing a letter to myself. A friend challenged me to do this, and it's not a letter from me to me at another time, but it is a letter from resurrected Stephanie, who is living with Jesus face to face, to Stephanie right now. And that's what we're going to do in just a little while. You guys are going to get a chance to write a letter from your resurrected self to yourself right now. But there's some things I want to talk about before we get started, before we have do that. First is when we saw this picture, it brought a lot of scripture to mind, right? Noah's Ark, the verses that I mentioned, and lots of truths about God that we knew from somewhere else. When in using our imagination to know the Lord, we must know truth about who God is first. I do not mean that you need to be an expert in the Bible before you can see a picture and know the Lord. You could have met the Lord yesterday and see this and get a lot of great things from it, that there is a storm, that the Lord is in control. But we are not seeking to make up new things about God. We're not seeking for a brand new revelation to the whole world about something no one's ever heard about God before. We are drawing on thousands of years of experience with the Lord and knowing him. And that comes from good Bible reading, from listening to good teaching, from being in community, from knowing that, first, I am not the main character in the story, right, that God is, from knowing that I am not coming to the Bible for a to-do list or a pep talk. I am letting it tell me how to live, and I'm listening to it and changing myself, not changing myself. Allowing the Holy Spirit to change me, but I'm not molding the Bible to be what I want it to be politically, socially, whatever. And then we do it in community with other people and say like, hey, this is what I'm learning. And we're open to the Holy Spirit showing us, well, actually, it might be a little different than I initially thought. And if you are reading the Bible, if you are listening to good teaching, you can trust the Lord with your imagination. You don't have to be afraid that you're going to get it wrong, that it's going to be something that is untrue. The Lord at the right time will show himself to you. So don't be in fear that way. The other thing that we need to talk about a little is the resurrection of the dead. We sang a lot about it, about Christ raised from the dead and how we will live with him one day. But there's some things that are helpful if you've not done an extensive study or reading that will help you write your letter that I want to just touch on before we get started. Most of what I am going to say is from 1 Corinthians 15. That whole chapter is about Christ raised from the dead and then us raised from the dead. Justin Jackson has a great sermon on it that I think is from 2 years ago, but you can find it on the Stonegate website. Millions upon millions of words have been written about this, so there are resources for you out there. But a few things that I want us to see. This is a non-negotiable of the Christian faith that Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, if Christ was not raised from the dead, then we are getting it real wrong. And we should just have fun because we're about to die. But he was raised from the dead. And not only was he raised from the dead, but he was just the first of many. So three things that I want you to see about resurrection. The first is that resurrection is certain. 1 Corinthians 15:22. So also in Christ, all will be made alive. Or verse 51 of that chapter, we will all be changed. So you should know that come what may, for the rest of your life here on earth, no matter what has happened or what will happen, you can be sure that one day you will be with Jesus forever and you will be changed. You will have a new body. So resurrection is certain is the first thing. The second thing is that Christ will reign over all his enemies. We sang about this. I don't know what your enemies are. One day a child of mine asked me, do you have any enemies? And I was like, I don't think I have any people enemies. Not right now. It's just an interesting conversation. But Christ will reign over all of those enemies, all the suffering, all the darkness in the world, including death. That's fantastic, isn't it? That the things that plague us right now one day won't. And then the third thing that we need to talk about is, what is this body going to look like? What a great question. No one knows. It doesn't tell us specifically, this is how it's going to be different. You will have four arms instead of two arms, or I don't know. But it does give us, 1 Corinthians 15 gives us some imagery that we can think about and imagine. It does not say, you little caterpillar will enter into a chrysalis and step out 2 weeks later, a butterfly. And you'll have to wait for your wings to dry, but it's going to be great. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that you baby thing just need to wait till you're a full grown thing and that will be it. That's it. It does not say that either. It says what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. What you sow is not what will be, but it is a bare kernel. So this is the seed falls to the ground, dies, and then a new plant grows, right? And I think what this means is that we are free to dream way bigger than like cellulite, right? That instead of thinking, one day I will have a body that doesn't have any things I'm disappointed in, like, I don't know, the shape of it, the color of it, whatever it is. But instead, one day I will have a body and I will be able to look on it with love and gratefulness. I won't be sad when I look at it. I won't be constantly trying to change it or trying to cover it up or change the color of my hair or whatever. You can do those things for fun, but sometimes they come from a place of, I don't like who I am. We just can dig deeper and dream bigger than my new body won't have cellulite. I don't know. Y'all are women. You know what I'm saying. It gives us several contrasts in 1 Corinthians 15. These are going to be on the screen when you have time to write. But I want to tell them for you now, say them to you now. So our current bodies are sown in corruption, but they will be raised incorruptible. They are sown in dishonor, but they will be raised in glory. They are sown in weakness, but they will be raised in power. What is sown is a natural body, and what is raised is a spiritual body. And it is called a spiritual body, not just a spirit. So I had this information about the letter. I had been challenged to write the letter from Resurrected Stephanie to 70 now. And what I was hoping would happen, y'all are going to recognize that I am just in it for a quick fix, is that I would sit and like go into a trance and then wake up and there would be a letter there that I could read. And that's not what the Lord did. But what the Lord did show me was that as intimately acquainted with my sorrow as I was, that I was also intimately acquainted with the hope of living with him. That I didn't need something new, that I didn't need something that I had never heard before or that had never been shown to me. But what I needed was the old things that I had in a new way. And that is what I've been praying for you guys, that this would be a time that you could experience the Lord, have something new from him that is also old. I am going to read to you a little bit of my letter, because I think that's helpful. That helped me kind of put handlebars around it. And I want you to know that the part I'm going to read to you is focused around the difficulty that I was feeling then. Your letter doesn't have to be like super heavy. It could be that you're imagining with the Lord all the joys and glories of heaven, not in contrast to the suffering here. I think that's a really easy place to start. But what keeps us up in the middle of the night? Not that we love iced coffee so much, but that something's coming tomorrow that feels really hard, or we don't have a solution for something right now. And I want to also tell you that it should be mostly about you. But if you have a loved one that is suffering and you want to imagine on their behalf, what could it be like if they're not experiencing that, then do that. Spend time loving the Lord in that way and knowing him more.
Can you explain exactly the letter, what it is one more time?
Yes.
Before you read yours.
Yes. So you're writing a letter from resurrected you, who lives with Jesus in her new body, in the new heaven and the new earth, where there is no sin and no suffering and no sorrow. And that's pretty much it. And you can go wherever you want to after that. So what would she say to you right now? She sees your life right now and what you're struggling through. She remembers it because she was there. And what is she telling you right now?
And take the imagination portion of like, what all could God be giving?
Yes. Yeah. Well, and I think we have to imagine this because we don't know. We can't look at pictures and see, oh, this is what it's going to be like. We don't. Yeah. So you will have about 10 or 15 minutes. I'm going to have some music that will play. You're free to like spread out if you want to. You have pen and paper. I will end our time together with just a little bit more to talk with you all about, and then we'll probably be done a few minutes early. But if you will, close your eyes. This is the fun part of being the teachers. Y'all don't have to watch me cry. Also, I probably am not going to make it through without crying, but it's okay. We're okay. And then we'll just start writing. I'll let you know whenever we're moving to the next thing. There will be questions to help you on the screen and those that chart of contrasts. So there will be stuff up there to help you, which we can. There we go. Okay. Steph, don't worry. You're here. God kept his promise. The guarantee was good. You're here with him, and there is peace. The stories are true, so let your imagination run wild. It will look different than you imagine, but it will not be less. I know you're afraid you're not all you should be. But if you'd never seen the 60-foot sycamores down the street, and you found one of those weird spiky seed ball things, can you imagine what the seed would turn into? Here, the beauty of how God made you is clear. There is no confusion about why you exist. It's plain that you were made for him. The longing is gone because it's been met in the beautiful, radiant face of King Jesus. And it's not hard to hear his voice anymore. It's in the bird song and elephants trumpeting and the wind and the laughter. She was right. There is so much laughter. But it's also as real as your own, more so even. With its own glorious timbre, it's the most familiar thing you've ever heard. And that's it too. It's familiar here. It's not regular or mundane. It's not like anything you've ever seen. It's free, totally free from the curse. But it isn't foreign. It's home. You, my dear, are finally, truly home. It's dazzling. And that's the best of your words I can use. But words don't fall short here. They don't go unsaid. They too have found their true home in the word. The right one is always at your lips. There is always a story to hear, one to tell, always a marvel to be found about our glorious Father and the wonders he has made. And your mind isn't a trap anymore. It's a treasure chest. There are no lies here. He has undone them all. It's coming, Steph, I promise. He has promised it. It won't take as long as you think to get here. And then you will always be with the Lord. He can be trusted. He will do it for you. Lord, would you guide these women now into what can be and what will be? Would you reveal to them, Lord, areas that they need the truth of what redemption will finally look like one day? Lord, we thank you for this time that we have been able to have. Father, we just ask that you would fill us with your peace. Guys, I want to close our time together today with a poem about the kingdom of heaven. Um, It's by a man named R.S. Thomas, who I think is alive. I don't know why I feel like that's the thing I need to tell y'all about the poet, is that they're alive. But I'm going to read it for you. The Kingdom by R.S. Thomas. It's a long way off, but inside it, there are quite different things going on. Festivals at which the poor man is king and the consumptive is healed. Mirrors in which the blind look at themselves and love looks at them back. An industry is for mending the bent bones and the minds fractured by life. It's a long way off, but to get there takes no time, and admission is free. If you purge yourself of desire and present yourself with your need only in the simple offering of your faith, green as a leaf. I forgot to say something that I want to say, and then we'll be done. In talking about our bodies, our new bodies, and saying it's more than cellulite, if you have a real physical thing, your body doesn't work in a way that it's supposed to, that is a thing to hope in your new body about. I don't mean to limit it to appearance, because there are real things that we deal with. And I just don't want you to leave without me saying that. I'm not trying to say you need to dream bigger than some physical thing that you have, but it's just more than appearance. So thank you guys so much for coming and listening to me rant. And I really hope that this is helpful for you, and that it's something that you can come back to.